This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
What's going on? It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man, we are doing something today that we're very proud of and we are happy to be a part of. And Mike Bell, as people pick up their packets today, and again, that is a tongue twister, right. The Paint Gwinnett Pink pickup packets, as people stop by here. Again, give out the physical location because this is where we'll be all afternoon long.
Again, guys, if you're coming down, we are at 1755 North Brown Road in Lawrenceville, Suite 100. There's a couple of hotels right off the... Basically, we're on the other side from like the way towards Gas South.
Yes. Yeah,
put it that way. So it would be the east side of 85 off of Sugarloaf, and that's where the Gwinnett Medical Center Foundation is. So basically, we're under a tent. It's a beautiful day. I mean, this is perfect fall weather, man.
Oh.
And a lot of folks, as we said, are coming by. Some folks would pick up their packets at the day of the event. But a couple of years ago, I was at this event. It was a cancer fundraiser, Fight the Cancer fundraiser at Scotty McRae's place, the old Lava Cosmo. And I ran to this wonderful lady, Jennifer, and we started chatting. And she goes, well, you sound like just the man for the job. I said, let's rope Dukes and Bell in this. Remember the first time we did the event? It was the old Arena Tavern.
Correct.
And we had the pickup. Remember, that was a good time. Now, that bar's gone, right?
It is.
Is it a Chick-fil-A? Whatever it is.
Right there on the corner.
Yeah. But anyway, we've been with these guys for 9 years. And next year will be number 10. But it's a big event. They have live music. They have all sorts of fun stuff. We'll tell you about all the events. Jen's going to join us during Guide Talk later to tell you how you can get in the fight against breast cancer and support Paint Gwinnett Pink.
All right. That's what we're doing today. What you doing? I'll tell you what's going on, man. We're getting ready for the Falcons and Seahawks. We're going to talk plenty about it. And, Mike, we got a bunch of guests that are going to stop by, as we mentioned, with Andy and Randy along the way. Also, you're going to get a chance to hear our conversation with John McClain, who stopped by the other day, has covered the NFL for over 35 years, knows everybody. And we were talking about a variety of things, including these trades. Mike, here's the deal with this, by the way. And I know we talked to Raheem Morris yesterday. He said Terry Fontenot and the team is always looking to improve. Guys, the teams that really think they're contenders are willing to go all in.
Right.
I think the Lions, for example, with the injury to Aiden Hutchinson, they're going to be willing to go all in. I don't know who they ultimately get. Again, who might you might think is on the market probably won't be. The Miles Garretts of the world.
Right.
And
the A-listers might not be who we're getting.
No, right. but I do think they go and try to make a move to help their team. The Lions are really good, and you don't replace Aiden Hutchinson. You just try to fill the void. But if you feel like, hey, we are in that same category, right? And I don't know if a lot of people feel that way. You see the Giants beat the hell out of Cowboys, and you may feel like, all right, we're good, but we're not Lions good. Bottom line is, you get to the playoffs, Mike, you don't know how this thing shakes out. You need to be prepared for those moments, and now is the time. So over the next few weeks, there'll probably be a lot more trades that will go down, guys, in the NFL, which has become kind of commonplace now. But yesterday, Raheem was talking about that and said they are always looking, but he is not running upstairs and saying, hey, this is a guy I want to get.
No, but as you said, Terry Fontenot saw something about this team. Now, whether or not it was simply injuries that made us go get Simmons or – they looked at the pass rush and they said, look, the Judon deal is good and Judon's going to oblige. And we're getting him on a pretty reasonable number, you know, from what he was going through up in New England. The story about Hassan Reddick, which maybe gets us out of the mix, is, and maybe doesn't.
He's a mess.
You know, is it, and we heard this yesterday from John McClain. You'll rehear that conversation at 2:40 as we go around the NFL. Is this guy just a knucklehead? You know, I mean, is he the Le'Veon Bell of edge rushers? Because what he's doing amounts to what Le'Veon Bell did, and he's shooting himself in the foot, cost himself millions of dollars. Either way, the dude in his prime It's pretty good, and I think we're getting him into his prime, and then next year he could go somewhere else and figure out wherever the heck he's going to play. It's not our problem. It's like, it'd be a rental.
It would.
But how much are you willing to give up to get a guy that can pump some life into your pass rush?
All right, so here's my issue with that. Hi, ladies. Hi, gentlemen. Hello. Here's my issue with Hassan Reddick. And Mike, after thinking about it in the last few days, because at first I was like, yeah, you know what? Good idea. Maybe we do need to add a guy like this. It's week 7. If he was to join us hypothetically next week, and he's not, right. How long does it take him to get acclimated? How long does it take him to learn what they want him to do? And I know most of you are like, well, just line him up and let him play. Justin Simmons didn't even do that. It took him a few weeks to get acclimated. Then on top of that, Mike, I don't think the dude's in shape. You can't get in the game shape on the sidelines and not participating. So he didn't go through camp. He didn't do anything with the Jets. Are we talking about week 14?
No.
Before he's ready?
No, that's not. He would plug. He would play. Huh? He would play me. Come on. Now you're.
I'm being serious.
You're not being serious.
I am.
Devontae Adams is going to plug in immediately. He's got a playbook to learn. It's a little more complicated than go see quarterback, get quarterback.
Well, Devontae Adams went through camp and he's been playing. Mike.
But I'm saying this guy, he's ready to go.
That is not what I'm hearing.
Well, then we don't want him. Then discussion over that.
And by the way, I'm guesstimating. But here's the other issue, and this is the bigger issue for me as we talk about how to improve our Falcons. And at what point, the reason why this is important, guys, is Dukes and Bell Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Pass rush has been anemic. At what point can you continue to win without having a consistent pass rush? At some point, it's going to come back to bite us in the butt. It hasn't yet, but at some point. And so you say, do we address it while we still have a chance before we get into December and January? Here's the bigger issue for me, and then I'll be done with this. The Hassan Reddick situation for me is, does he want to play, Mike? Mike, he's leaving $14 million on the table or whatever it is right now just because he's disgruntled. Hell, there's a lot of guys around the league that want extensions. Does he even want to be in the NFL? Does he want to play?
Yes, he wants to play. He just misplayed his hand. He's like, again, it's a long tradition of guys who think they know better than the team and they think that somehow they're going to have leverage on a football team, which never works. The only guy that ever worked in my lifetime as an NFL fan was Emmitt Smith when the Cowboys started 0-2 and Jerry Jones had to say, okay, deal.
Yeah.
But I mean, Le'Veon Bell, we use him as an example. He lost an estimated $15 million, Spotrac put out there as far as, you know, sitting out and missing a season with the Steelers. But in this case, this guy just misplayed his hand. He just thought, I'm going to sit out.
Do you think he wants to really dive? I mean, why wait so long?
He went again. He was in a beef with the Eagles. The Eagles traded him to the Jets. He's under the understanding, at least his camp, his initial camp was, the Jets are going to give you a contract extension. And then Joe Douglas goes, I never really said that. And so now it's hurt feelings, and it's he said, she said. You don't want to play for the Jets. Drew Rosenhaus is trying to repair that relationship because I think Drew Rosenhaus realizes what you're just saying. A lot of teams are going to say thanks, but no thanks. And the only way he gets loot is to stay with Gangrene.
It's going to be interesting. Are we interested? It's worth a phone call. But these are my concerns.
No, I kicked the tires on it, but I'm with you. We had a guy, I joked around, I think Steakhouse was asking the day, who's the worst free agent you ever saw? Ours was Ray Edwards.
Correct.
Guy came here and quit midseason, 2012. I mean, we were going to have a bookend with John Abraham. Guy just literally walked away midseason with about 5-6 weeks left to go. So that's one of the worst. We've had some mixed bag experience with free agents. But, Carl, maybe there's somebody, like, I wish we could have maybe plucked Ngakoue when he was over on the practice squad for the Ravens. You could have just signed him. But we didn't. I don't know, maybe they don't see the value there with him, or they don't think he's got anything left in the tank. So you're going to have to find somebody, but maybe, to your point, it's not going to be an A-lister. So Max Crosby's not coming here, guys. And if you want to go trade for the Browns for Garrett, forget
Miles
it.
Garrett, yeah.
Miles Garrett. It's going to be – well, it'd be a lot as long as you – would you be willing to give up like a first and a second for Miles Garrett?
Miles Garrett is definitely –
because he's a game changer.
He's a game – absolutely, Mike. 404-726-0929. Follow us. He's Mike Bell, ATL. I may put him up. See Dukes and the radio show. It's Dukes and Bell 929. Follow the radio station at 929 The Game.
Right now we have an audience of one.
Yes.
And I won't say what company he's working for, but he's getting the packages delivered. But our man is hanging out here, and he's literally – it's almost like a drive-in movie. He's in his truck watching the Dukes and Bell show here as we're sitting here in front of the medical center.
Well, he just, as I'm reading his lips, he said, I listen to you guys every day, and now I'm in the truck, and I'm listening, and I'm looking at you guys, and I just want to experience this for a second, because I feel you. You know, you want to know if we really sound like this. I get
right on.
Yeah, we really don't. I really sound like this, to be quite honest with you.
You're shorter in person. Boy, do I ever get, I never get sick of hearing that, Carl.
So, man, thank you. What's your name, brother?
Maurice.
All right, man. Thank you
for
stopping
by. The ladies call him Maurice.
Speaking of moves, Mike, this is kind of the stuff we're talking about. Titans released Jamal Adams. And he wanted out, right?
Right.
So Jamal Adams was a beast. I think it was with the Jets, right? Then he went to Seattle, if I remember correctly.
Right.
But he's a Pro Bowl, former Pro Bowl safety, three-time Pro Bowl safety. He wanted out of Tennessee. He signed a one-year deal in July, and basically their quarterback sucks. They're not going anywhere. We talked about it. Calvin Ridley's getting no targets. So, look, right. This guy's like, I want out. Jamal Adams wants to go to a contender and be somewhere where he can compete for maybe a championship. We've got safeties, but I'm saying those are the kind of guys that are ultimately going to – if you want out, if you're a star in this league and you want to be out, you can get out of it.
No, and I know that we've got a lot of Falcon fans out there that are saying, hey, this team could be special. I think we certainly look like we're better than average. We're better than most of the NFC right now. If we put a big number on Seattle, then I think a lot of folks will be believers. I just think you with Kirk Cousins – We're still not even hitting our full stride. I think the Carolina game was great, but I still think there's room for improvement. And we heard Jimmy Lake, if you missed that conversation, we'll get you some of that with Andy Randy. He knows, Carl, what you just said. We've got to beef up the pass rush.
All right. At some point, listen, it hadn't hurt us yet, but I think they got to be thinking about it up there at Flowery Branch. We're coming back. We got a lot to get to, guys. Once again, we're in Gwinnett today. We're outside, which is actually kind of awesome, to be quite honest with you. Paint Gwinnett pink. The 5K that's going on this weekend, and Mike is a part of that. He'll be emceeing, and so we're up here supporting as we always do. All right, we're coming back. We'll hit some headlines. We got a lot of stuff to get to, Mike. Does it feel like the World Series is already set?
Yeah, I think it's going to be Dodgers-Yankees. We haven't had that one since 1981.
Yeah.
And, by the way, a little bit later in Guy Talk, I got some numbers for you. The New York versus New York thing, back when the Mets played the Yankees, the TV ratings really tanked. It was, Carl, like 7 million less than who watched the Braves and the Yankees.
Wow.
So I think as much as maybe New Yorkers would be pining for it, the rest of the country would say, knock yourself out. We'll watch football.
Well, and I think that is going to happen. This hour is brought to you by the Man Cave Store. Up your Man Cave game this season at mancavestore.com. It's Dukes and Bell. It is Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We're in Gwinnett, guys, for the Paint Gwinnett Pink Packet Pickup. And we want to remind you, Monday from 2 to 7, Mike and I are going to be at the Buffalo Wild Wings perimeter location right there by Perimeter Mall. Two stories. It's awesome. Outdoor seating. It's really cool. As a matter of fact, Buffalo Wild Wings has your pick six with two entrees, two sides, two drinks for only $19.99. Happy hour from 3 to 6, so come out and hang out with us. We're also going to be giving away a Kyle Pitts autographed jersey on site, so you have to be there to win the jersey. And also, come meet your favorite 92.9 The Game personalities. Everybody's going to be hanging out. It's going to be huge, and we want to see you guys out there hanging out with us at Buffalo Wild Wings.
And a big game, too, with the Ravens taking on the Bucks, and obviously, I guess we're all Baltimore fans, right?
I think so, man. Yeah. We get two games, right?
A double dip on Monday.
Yeah, that game's going to be impactful, not only for us in our division, but also, you know, everybody's talking about the Ravens maybe being the best team. Tampa's scoring a lot of points, and it's going to be interesting to see who slows who down if they're able to do that, or maybe we get a high-scoring affair. Guys, coming up, we're going to get a chance to hear from our buddy John McClain, who's covered the NFL for a very long time. Mike and I caught up with him yesterday on the show, and it was interesting for him to talk about some of the deals that are going down, the quarterbacks, and all the stuff that's happening. You'll hear that coming up here in less than 15 minutes. Before we get to some headlines, Mike, at Texas this weekend. The countdown is on. Mike, the buzz, everything I'm seeing, like it doesn't matter, Fox, ESPN, no matter what channel you're going to, everybody's talking about this game and what it could mean. And today I saw, you know, this thing, what could it mean for their draft status? And I'm like, really? Like, we're just going to discount the combine and personal workouts and all the things that teams really look at? Whether a guy loses this game or not, whoever loses this game, is it going to hurt their draft status? And I was like, that's a reach.
No, man, I'm not buying that one. I do feel that, there's certainly time and big stages to step up and make your brand bigger. But, I mean, all the personnel guys know what these guys do. They got a whole career of tape in their college game. Because that's the thing. You might have tape. You might have three different tapes from three different schools with some of these guys, right, in the transfer portal. Not so much with Texas and Georgia, but, yeah, man, I think, yes, it is the big stage. I think that's more for the fans, you know, because that's when the fans go, why are we drafting that guy? He didn't do blank in that big game against so-and-so. But, you know, there's a lot of guys in the NFL that had moments, and maybe certainly their NFL careers weren't affected by what they didn't do against their arch rival.
Mike, remember, to bring this back home, Georgia fans said that about Aiden Hutchinson when Georgia beat Michigan.
Right.
And everybody's like, well, he didn't do anything. And I'm like, that does not project to the NFL. And Hutchinson has been a dog. Obviously, he's injured right now and done for the season. But I'm with you. Like, I can't look at that or one game and say, hey, this is a make-or-break thing for any particular player, including these quarterbacks. But that is where we're at. I mean, the anticipation of who's going to play better and does this help them down the road in the spring when, you know, the draft rolls around. Here's my concern, Mike, about Quinn Ewers. He's hurt a lot. if I'm an NFL team, I am concerned a little bit about these injuries that has happened at Texas. Right. Every year he's missed time. And you can tell me, oh, well, that's just the game. It's no big deal. Guys, that usually only gets worse when you get to the NFL. And so I'm a little concerned as we project, you know, his future.
Well, he took a lot of contact. Don't you think he's gotten away from taking as much of that contact? You think he's still the physical nature? Earlier in his career, when he had the longer hair, it seemed like he was really looking to hit some people, you know, going through, you know, the hole and sometimes scrambling and some of those design run plays that he was a part of. But, yeah, I mean, for instance, Carson Beck, you could say, you know, right now as a dog fan, what's the big game that Carson Beck has won?
Good question.
I mean, you're.
Oh, you want to say Auburn last year?
You're playing for an elite program. I mean, you know, you lost an SEC championship.
Yeah.
You kind of pooped the bed in your first. Now you came back like a house of fire against Alabama. But look, I'm not comparing him to a Mitchell Trubisky or to a Drake May who had no moments at North Carolina, which you and I used to say. Now again, Deshaun Watson's career has flamed out, but that was the big argument for you and I. Like Deshaun Watson won championship for Clemson, played in big games, played in those pressure situations, and it just doesn't seem like, you know, for Carson. Now it doesn't define Carson, but this would be one of those moments, but it doesn't matter. All they have to do is the team that falls in love with it, the big arm,
guy.
Right? And yeah. Carson's
on the moments. I am. I think they matter. The Deshaun Watson thing is just weird on so many levels. I mean, I get the whole off the field stuff, but like to be as timid as he has become on the field with the football, almost playing scared. I don't quite understand what's happening to the brother. I just don't. With that said, man, we're talking about Georgia and Texas, and we'll get plenty in here as we move along today. It's Dukes and Bell Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Turtle, our executive producer, back at the studio doing all the things. Big O is off this week. Turtle, let's hit some headlines. Headlines brought to you by our friends at ATL Live Well. Don't just live, live well. Mike, let's hear from Coach Ra because he sat down with us yesterday. If you're wondering, and he kind of put it out there, I said, what are you guys going to do with DK Metcalf?
Right.
Big wide receiver, playmaker for Seattle. And he said, I can't wait to see this matchup.
I'm really excited about that matchup with him and AJ and watching those guys go out there and compete like that. AJ has one of the toughest jobs on the team every single week, right? You go out first week of the season, you got Pickens. Next week of the season, you got this guy. Then you got Deontay Johnson last week. And you're going to go out there and you're going to match that guy up with those guys that we know how much money they make.
Right.
Every single week. And they don't make that money by mistake. They make it because they earn it. And he has to go out there and play. And they're going to make catches. They're going to have receptions. And you got to keep fighting.
Yeah, man, and perhaps a little bit of help from Justin Simmons, maybe, and Jesse Bates, because certainly you've got a guy, you know, an AJ who, you and I went round and round about, is he worth the contract, gets his first interception in 3 years. I think a lot of guys around the league are like, wait a minute, that's his first interception in 3 seasons? Well, it was 2.5 because
right.
It was January, but you get the idea. This is a tall target. And he's good and he's big, but I will say this. I'd love to see Simmons come in there, pow, do a little karate chop and punch that ball out. And as a fantasy owner, I know that's certainly plausible because he puts it on the ground.
DK Metcalf, mistake prone. Yeah, man, listen, I just don't want him to have a coming out party. He's not had one of those 2-touchdown, 3-touchdown kind of games this season for them. Geno's throwing the ball a lot, but that is going to be a matchup we're watching on Sunday. Meanwhile, Mike and I talked about it to start the show. Pass rush. Are the Falcons looking to maybe make a move before the trade deadline? Raheem Moore said this to us on Dukes and Bell.
Nothing would shock me when it comes to Terry Ryan, Praise, Kyle Smith, and those guys getting together and figuring out something else and making moves. We were talking about this, you know, in the beginning of the season. Matthew Judon showed up. Justin Simmons showed up because they're obsessed. And when you're obsessed with football and getting better and doing the right things, that's an awesome quality to have in the business. So nothing would shock me.
Now, I know that we always get into that old argument about, you know, T.J. Watt wasn't brought here because of, well, you know, the Jets interim coach liked a certain other guy named Tack McKinley, but also there was the time, well, we're a 4-3, and he's more of a 3-4. All right. But there are some guys that truly are that 4-3 guy, and we are a 3-4 defense. But I know that, you know, Max Crosby's a name that certain people are still going to, regardless of whatever you're running, they say, that's a guy I can plug in. Well, maybe yes and no. Maybe we don't see it that same way. I know that you've talked about Myles Garrett. If the Browns do a fire sale, and I don't know, who knows what the Browns are going to do. That's a guy, I don't care what and how you approach pass rush, you can't not be involved in that conversation.
I'm with you, brother. Listen, We've yet to this is an off-season conversation. Yeah. We've yet to draft that dominant pass rusher early in the draft where we are all in on somebody, and Mike, right. He gets here and he delivers. Every other team that we see around the league, and I brought up the Lions with Hutchinson, right, as they were continuing this rebuild, and you guys remember who the number one pick was when Aiden Hutchinson went? It was a Georgia.
Yeah,
Bulldog.
Was it Jordan Davis?
Nope.
Who am I forgetting? I've already forgotten his name.
The linebacker?
Yeah.
He's in Jacksonville. He goes first. Hutchinson doesn't go one overall. And the point is, it doesn't have to be the number one overall pick to be a great, effective edge rusher. I think sometimes we get caught up in that. And by the way, if you go back and look at the last 20 drafts, there's only like three edge guys that have been.
Oh, it's Trayvon Walker.
Correct. Right. That have been the number one overall pick. Jadeveon Clowney was one of those guys. Guys, Jadeveon Clowney has not had a Hall of Fame career.
No, Jadeveon Clowney, I mean, he literally, remember, a lot like, I think people don't realize this, he went back to South Carolina after the big hit in the Outback Bowl, played 7,000 times, like there's a Bruder film on ESPN, and then he loafed. He literally checked out. Then Steve Spurrier did likewise the following year. But, yeah, and then he comes in the NFL, and he's never been the guy I think that some people thought he was going to. It's a nice career, and he's got a hell of a pension. But, no, Carl, he bounced from his football card falls out. There's so many teams on it.
No doubt. Davante Adams spoke to the New York media, which means he spoke to all of us for the first time. Mike, he was asked flat out, are you going to be a Jet after this year?
I hope so. That's the plan. I mean, I want to be here. I never go somewhere in hopes of having to find a new home. So that's the hope.
Oh, you did that with the Raiders, though. Oh, I'm sorry. Your boy left Derek Carr. I get it. He went there for Carr.
Yeah.
I get it.
No, that was his college pal, his college quarterback, and then that blew up in his face. So, look, he'll be out there. He'll be making plays because, again, here's the thing. The NFL wants to get into all this tampering. We had the monkey around because Kirk Cousins was maybe talking to the training staff when everybody and their uncle knew that he was coming here.
That's crap.
If Aaron Rodgers is feeding a playbook to a guy on another roster, how is that kosher? You know, I'm not trying to be like Mike the Narc, but I mean, if this guy comes in with an encyclopedia-like knowledge of the Jets playbook, either he's an incredibly quick study, kind of like Baker Mayfield was with the Rams playbook on a cross-country flight,
yeah.
Or, you know, Aaron Rodgers was giving him some of this information.
He had to be. I mean, and by the way, they play the Steelers Sunday night. That's going to be crazy because it could be Russell.
Nobody likes a snitch. I'm just saying.
No, I'm with you. I don't know if it will be. It might be both Russ and Justin. And excuse me. And if it is Russell, because guys are hitting me up yesterday. Somebody sent me something about how good thing. We said this all along. If you play Russ and he does not perform well, it is easy to go back to Justin and say, well, we're 4-2 and look what he was doing for the team. You don't have to play Russ anymore at that point. But if you don't play him, people are always going to say, well, you didn't play Russ. We could have been better. So I feel the quandary there for Mike Tomlin. But, Mike, that Jets-Steelers game is going to be crazy.
Yeah, man. Real quick. All those storylines. And how much of that is coming from Arthur Smith, by the way, as far as trying to execute what he's trying to do and maybe feels there's just more stuff in the playbook if it's Russell Wilson?
It's possible. We know. Yankees, Guardians, Dodgers, Mets. I said to Mike, does it feel like the World Series is happening? Because L.A. last night, again, offensively exploded.
It's amazing. Shohei Ohtani can't hit when there's nobody on base. When there's somebody on base, he's 7-for-9. And it's a three-run homer last night, which blew the game away. You know, and it's funny. I got all my high school buddies going, why do we go for launch angle? Why can't we do some hit and run and create some runs? Not the way the Mets are built, man.
Yeah.
Not really.
No.
Well, certainly not the way they're trying to run this playoff.
I think whatever momentum they had, gone. Like, they lost it last night. And that was they couldn't score. Yep. All right, coming up, guys, John McClain. We'll talk more football with him as he joined the show.
Oh, hell, Carl and Mike, that's not going to happen.
We want you to hear what he says about these pass rushers being on the block. This hour is brought to you by the Man Cave Store. Up your Man Cave game this season at mancavestore.com. Let's talk to our buddy John McClain. And John, as we talk about these moves that are being made around the NFL, I want to start there before we get to some of this other stuff. Tell me what you think of the move that the Jets have made today to trade for Davante Adams. And does it really make them that much better? Because I still think there's a lot of dysfunction there.
First of all, guys, if there was anybody that actually believed that claptrap that Rodgers had nothing to do with Robert Saleh's firing, I got some property here in Houston I'd like to sell you. Not only does he talk to the owner on Monday night, then he's fired the next day. He claims it didn't come up. Give me a break. And then they trade for the receiver he wants. It's too bad Reddick didn't become good friends with Rodgers, because if Rodgers had said, hey, give him whatever he wants, he would have been there. I have never seen a player, a quarterback, in my 48 years of covering the NFL who had the control that Aaron Rodgers has over the Jets, which is one of the many reasons they've been so dysfunctional. They've almost become the villains, people rooting against them. We all knew Devontae Adams was hoping to get traded, and he had that mysterious hamstring injury. And then Jeff Obrecht says today, the interim coach, the Jets, says, well, we're hoping he can play in this next game. And I'm like, okay, you're playing the Steelers. He's been hurt with a hamstring, but miraculous recovery when he gets to move to New Jersey. So, and then the Amari Cooper thing, Deshaun Watson is playing worse than any quarterback in the league. And there was a great thing by Bill Barnwell on ESPN.com yesterday, breaking down in every possible analytical category about just how bad Watson has been. And then they trade his best receiver. And the only thing I can see there, guys, is they want to keep Watson playing. Now, maybe Jimmy Haslam is a genius and we don't know it. While everybody thinks Watson should be benched for Jameis Winston, Haslam tells him, keep playing him, because it's pretty obvious if he's a genius, he wants to lose as many games as possible so he can draft Watson's replacement. Now, that would be pure genius. And by the way, congratulations to the Falcons. I picked them to win the division, and I'm glad they're off to the start that they are.
It's great catching up with our man. You recognize the pipes of John McClain, and that's my next question. We've got a lot of good things going here, John. It took us a minute to get Cousins to 100% and the offensive coordinator getting that game plan dialed in. But now we can run, we can throw. We're missing edge rush. Is there a guy that we can do a deal with? I know that everybody's talking about the Lions. We need some edge rush.
Well, first of all, why do you think Reddick has been with so many teams? He has been a good pass rusher, and they keep getting rid of it. Is there a reason for that? What do we not know about Hassan Reddick that goes on behind the scenes in which teams don't want him, even though he's a double-digit sack guy? Isn't John Abraham still the last player to get double-digit sacks there?
Yes. It was actually it was an off year, but it doesn't count. It was Vic Beasley.
He
was gone like 2 years later.
Okay. Yeah. Well, it seems like it's been forever, and I thought they were going to get a better one. They're 4-2. I wouldn't want Reddick on my team. No, I would not touch him. Falcons got a good thing going. Why upset that good thing?
John, you've known Jerry for a long time, and I know that, you know, as he's aged, he's 82 now. I think he celebrated his birthday last weekend. It feels like this is caving in on him. And I know you heard the radio comments where he was on with RJ and the guys up there in Dallas. I mean, what the hell is going on? Jerry is in his bag. His team is not good.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
What's happening in Dallas right now?
Well, one reason he's getting a lot of criticism is he said they were all in the offseason, and they weren't. Derrick Henry lives there, worked out there, wanted to play for the Cowboys. They never even called his agent. Jerry Jones said they couldn't afford him. He makes like $9 million a year. Of course they could afford him. Anybody can sign just about anybody if you redo a couple of contracts and lower your cap figure. So Derrick Henry is glad they didn't come to him and he re-signed there. And now he's got a chance to be an MVP. He's on a pace for 2,000 yards. And another team that has to answer that is the new head coach of the Titans, Brian Callahan, and their general manager who got total control when Vrabel was fired. If I'm the Titans owner, I'm saying, tell me again why we gave Calvin Ridley $92 million and we didn't want to give Derrick Henry $8 or $9 million a year. And I wonder what their answer is going to be for that. Jerry Jones, everybody knew he needed a running back. Everybody, fans, media. It went on through free agency, the draft, undrafted free agents, and he didn't do it. And now they're stuck with no running game, putting more pressure on Dak Prescott, and Dak has not played well. Last year they were 8-0 at home, only unbeaten team. And then that backslide started with Packers in the playoffs. And for the first time in their history, they have trailed in the fourth quarter of four consecutive home games by at least 20 points. The move to bring in Mike Zimmer, bring him back to Dallas as defensive coordinator, replaced Dan Quinn, has backfired. And I have seen Jerry Jones get so much criticism through the decade, and he never responds to it. And then on his own flagship station, he kind of went ballistic this morning. And my former boss at my station in Houston, that's his station up there, you know, he's threatening the talk show host because they're asking him tough questions he doesn't want to hear. And I'm guessing he's just about at the end of his rope, and there's not one damn thing he can do about it. And let me tell you, there's a lot of people in Houston loving every minute of it.
Yeah. Big battle between H-Town and Big D. It's a John McClain, guys, with us here on the WadeFord.com hotline. Yeah, it just seems like there's you can't pick your owner. You know, fans are just kind of hosed right there. The Cowboys, we'll see them here later in the year. Are they going to make the playoffs, or is this the downward spiral of just all these things you just talked about not working?
Well, fortunately for them, it's not a great division. Yes, Washington is the toast of the NFL with Jaden Daniels, and maybe the Commanders will do what the Texans did with C.J. Stroud last year and be a surprise division winner. Philadelphia is not real good. Dallas is not real good. But I don't see Washington running away with that division. If Dak Prescott could play the way he played in regular season, not the playoffs, if he could start playing that way, right now not only is he not worth $60 million a year, he's not worth $60 a year. End zone interceptions, red zone interceptions that he hadn't thrown in recent years. Now they're going to get their injured defensive players back at some point, maybe soon, and have a better defense. So I'm not saying they're going to be out of it, not at this point, because every year, guys, you know this, there's teams that start poorly and turn it around, just like there's teams that start red hot and we ready to anoint them as a division champion, and then they fall back. And so it's going to happen to teams this year because it happens every year, and I can't wait to see how it plays out.
All right. As we talk about, you know, all the stuff that's happening around the league, and there is a lot, I got to take it back to Houston because I think he set the bar last year. And speaking of the Commanders and Jaden Daniels, I heard on the broadcast, I guess, this week that he has the numbers of C.J. Stroud in his phone that he looks at before every game because he wants to top those numbers because C.J. had the best rookie year of any quarterback in the history of the league. Talk about C.J. and the Texans first and then Jaden's ability to do what he's doing and maybe topping those numbers.
Well, let me say this about Jaden Daniels. Stroud can run if he needs to, but he's a pocket passer. You know, he'll roll out. He likes to throw on the run. His eyes are always down the field. And that's the way it was last year as a rookie starter. So he didn't have a lot of yards rushing. He had three touchdowns rushing. So Daniels will blow him away rushing. And Daniels is having a great season. But Stroud set a high standard for rookies and plus an unfair standard for rookies. I felt bad still too for Bryce Young. He didn't have the weapons around him. He didn't have DeMeco Ryans as his head coach. And so, of course, he's off to a terrible start. And Daniels has got a good running game. He's got a good offensive line. He's got Terry McLaurin, other good receivers, including Noah Brown, who was here last year and really helped C.J. Stroud. And then they elected not to re-sign him because they had Nico Collins, Stephon Diggs, and Tank Dell. And so it won't surprise me if he doesn't beat his stats. The key is Is he going to win the division and win a playoff game before losing in the divisional round on the road? And all the stats are great, but the whole idea, of course, is to win. And Daniels, by all intents and purposes, is definitely capable of it. I watched some of those throws he makes on the highlights, and it's not receivers making great catches. It's him putting the ball pinpoint placement. And that's one of the things Stroud's good at, decision-making, poise, and accuracy. Puts the ball right where the receivers need it.
Talking with our man, John McClain, here, guys, on the WaitForIt.com hotline. I know we mentioned our need for pass rush. The Lions need pass rush now with that horrible injury to Aiden Hutchinson. Is it Telesco's the GM of the Raiders? He's a Bill Polian guy. Is he going to fire sale the Raiders and move Max Crosby, or are they going to keep doing what they're doing?
No, they're not moving Max Crosby. Mm-hmm. That reminds me of baseball. Everybody was saying Terry Skubal of the Tigers was going to be traded. They didn't trade him, and look what's happened.
Yeah.
Crosby's the most important player they have. He's the most popular player they have. If Telesco was to trade him, he might as well move back to San Diego, go to work selling insurance, because he'd get run out of town. And plus, players like Crosby can play longer. So, no, I don't think so. Adams was unhappy. He wanted out. He let them know it. He lied publicly when the stories got out. He wanted to be traded. And then, of course, he admitted he wanted to be traded. Now he is. And good luck to him getting in that circus at MetLife Stadium with Aaron Rodgers. And Aiden Hutchinson is a great player. But you see all the time players get hurt and the team keep going. If the Lions were to play every week, like they played against the Cowboys, they may not lose again. That includes the Super Bowl. Now they're playing the Vikings. You know, we got two great games this weekend, Lions and Vikings and Ravens and your arch rival Buccaneers there. Mm-hmm. I can't wait to see those games because of the way the teams are playing. Right now, if I had to pick the best team in the AFC, I would pick Baltimore. You know, Baltimore scoring two. Kansas City's unbeaten. Kansas City's been, you know, kind of winning ugly. But to me, when I see Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry and how that running game opens up the passing game, man, they're going to be hard to beat. And the Lions, Dan Campbell, does such a great job of motivating. You know, he looks like he'd go out and eat an animal raw if he had to, if he thinks it helped them win. And the players eat it up. Of course, the fans do as well. And so it's such an exciting race with all the great young quarterbacks and the older quarterbacks like Kirk Cousins. You know, right. Who doesn't like Kirk Cousins? I've never heard anybody that knew Cousins say they didn't like him. You know, he's had some hard luck. He's lost some tough games. But, boy, he's been on a roll after that opener.
He has. It's always a pleasure, John, to talk with you. Glad you're doing well. And, you know, there's just so much going on, man. We love the fact that the NFL is driving the bus. Week 7 should be interesting. We will talk soon, my friend. Take care.
Sounds good, guys. Thank you.
Yeah.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.